The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here for the second half of the program. Hard to believe it was 2 weeks ago this afternoon. We were getting ready for the final college football game of the year. And it was a week ago right now. We were reflecting on a just completed news conference in Knoxville, firing Jeremy Pruitt and retiring Philip Fulmer. We are taking your phone calls now at 855-242-7285. The new defensive coordinator at Missouri, Kevin Wilkes, coming up, has some experience in the college ranks, but mostly in recent years, he has been in the NFL with a number of teams, from the Cardinals to the Browns to the Panthers. We will talk to him about why he decided to return to college coming up here in a few minutes. Final hour, we'll find out what's going on the Bayou. Ever since firing Bo Pelini, LSU has struggled finding the right replacement at the defensive coordinator position. Let's get back to the calls. And how about John up next? Hey, John, go right ahead. John, go right ahead. You're on the air.
John who?
It would be you, John.
John from Georgia.
John from Georgia. How are you?
Okay. I just wanted to ask you if you could start doing some recruiting information on your shows and get up some information about how the SEC teams are doing in recruiting. I love your show. 3 o'clock every day, I'm running to the television.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we do cover recruiting to a point, but not very often. And is there anything in particular you're interested in?
No, just all the SEC teams. Just see how they've done, the rankings, and
we will,
who's going to the teams.
Okay. Let me make it clear. The biggest recruiting day was a couple of weeks ago in December. There's not much left, and we covered it pretty extensively. But we'll cover it again as we get closer to the final day. Let me correct myself. I called the new coordinator at Missouri, Kevin. His name is Steve Wilkes. So my apologies before we even meet. So please accept my apologies for calling him by the wrong first name. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Will, who is in North Carolina. Hey, Will, go right ahead. You're on the air.
All right, I'm following through on the new AD's proclamation, and I'm not going to be happy until Tony Elliott is in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Well, you know, I think he is someone that will be talked to. Will, I know a reasonable amount about Tony Elliott, but why do you think he would be a good head coach?
Well, at least he expands access maybe to the West Coast, maybe, but. I've seen how Clemson performed the last game when he was out sick, and I was I've been impressed with him going from Furman too. So, but I'm really hoping that we can find somebody that can help us on offense. So,
well, I think that is a big priority. Great to have you here. Thanks for the call. Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
You're very welcome. I'm just calling about Phil Fulmer.
Okay.
My wife and I used to be season ticket holders at UT back in the 60s and 70s. And I didn't like Phil Fulmer back then. I thought he was a terrible coach. We had Peyton Manning down there playing quarterback that threw the ball 35, 38 times a game, and 90% of them was sideways. And then we had Jason Witten down there, he's an all-pro, one of the best tight ends ever to play in the NFL. And he left a year early because he was down there 3 years and caught probably a dozen or two dozen passes, no more than that. He used him to block all the time. So Philip Fulmer's elevator didn't go all the way up back then, and it don't go all the way up right now. Thanks for taking my call.
Wayne is calling next. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Wayne, we are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. What I want to say is I believe that what Tennessee ought to do is stick with Kevin Steele. He's a Tennessee grad, and that's what Tennessee has had the most luck with is Tennessee people.
Well, I think you're right.
In
some regards, at least recently, Majors and Fulmer were both great coaches and Tennessee people.
Yeah, maybe I believe they should have hired him instead of hiring Pruitt when they did.
Well, I think you're right about that, but you know, there's not much you can do about it now.
That's true. That's true. But I believe that's what they ought to do going forward. It's not. I'm an Alabama fan. It's not, you know, don't really mean that much to me. But that's what it seems like the Tennessee people ought to do.
Well, I'll make sure that they know that. But I. It sure is interesting how many Alabama people are concerned about the Tennessee program. Let's talk to Yardbird up next. Hey, Yardbird, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, are you there?
I am. I am here for the whole day.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope Tennessee gets it together, Bo. But quick question. The rumors are swirling down here in the Southeast. What is it true about Dabo Swinney going to the New England Patriots?
I don't believe it is true. Where did you hear that, Yardbird?
It's on Rivals, Bo. It's all over Rivals. I thought.
I don't know. I don't want to ruin anyone's day because I get calls and emails all the time. A friend of mine texted me today about another coach who was pictured in a Tennessee shirt and wanted to know if he was going to be the next Tennessee coach. I think the message boards, I think the internet, the Twitter, whatever, is great. It's great entertainment, but don't take it too seriously, okay? We are going to head to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the new defensive coordinator at the University of Missouri. He has spent the last 10 or more years, maybe longer, 15 years in the NFL, but he has a little bit of a college background. We're heading to Columbia, Missouri next, and we hope you'll stick around as we say hello to Steve Wilks.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and Steve Wilks, the new defensive coordinator at Mizzou, will join us here in a couple of minutes. Until then, we will continue with your phone calls, and if you want to give us a ring, it's 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Daniel, who is up next. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. Good afternoon. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing? I just had a question. I mean, do you think Gus Malzahn would actually be a good fit for Tennessee? Just because of the fact that if you look at his record against the teams in the East, don't have a good record against Georgia. Dan Mullen has pretty much owned Gus Malzahn, even when he was at Mississippi State, he beat him a few times. And he's going to have less amount of talent at Tennessee. So, I mean, would that really actually work out for him there?
Well, Daniel, first of all, I have not heard Gus Malzahn's name seriously connected to Tennessee, so we may be agonizing over something that is not going to happen, but I think you have to look at, you know, is he capable of the job? Yes, he's been the coach at Auburn since 2013, and I think you can quibble about his record against certain teams, and not a lot of teams have winning records against Georgia, but I think overall he's done pretty well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like his recruiting has fallen off hard at Auburn, and it's going to be even tougher at Tennessee to recruit, especially at this time.
No, I completely agree with you. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. Dave is up next in Vermont. Dave, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your show. It's nice to get it up here in Vermont on the SEC Network. Just a suggestion. I know he might be a long shot, but has anybody thought about Dale Jones? He's the defensive coordinator and inside linebacker guy for Appalachian State, and he's recruited in the area for years, and he is a great Tennessee alum. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say he's unqualified. He is. I would be surprised. Now, I think you have you always have to think this is not about Tennessee. This is about hiring the best coach. And a lot of us look at it through a different prism than an athletic director. He's trying to bring someone in that does not need on-the-job training, which Jeremy Pruitt did, who can not only start the first day running but sprinting, which Dale Jones could quite effectively. So I understand where you're coming from there, but I just would be very surprised to see him as the next choice. Maybe on the staff. Iman is up next. Iman, you are on the air.
You know, Paul, can I talk to your callers just for a second? Just for a second, for a brief moment.
You may.
Callers, listen. Sit back and relax. Most of you people can't go to the grocery store and get three items without writing them on a piece of paper. If it wasn't for driving a short distance to work, you probably wouldn't be able to get home in that. And when your wife asks you what you want for supper, you say, I don't care. But why do you insist on calling this program and trying to tell Paul and everybody else who your suggestion for the Tennessee coaching job is? Most of you don't even know who your team is. And I tell you, the Bama fans may be the worst. I think they ought to get their mouths on, Paul. You know, I think they ought to get you freeze. I mean, is that all the imagination you people have? Hell, if you're going to do that, call in and nominate your local high school football coach. Jay Wiz, I mean, Paul, where do these people come from? What do they think? What do they do? Do they even listen to you? I mean, it's obvious. Well, I wouldn't want that job. That's terrible. This is the best job in the country right now. Wouldn't you agree?
It's the only
job. There's no pressure. There's no pressure. Just go and do the best you can do, and you'll come out multi-millions of dollars. Hell, I'll be the Tennessee coach, Paul. Have a good day.
Okay. John is up next in North Carolina. Hello, John. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, Paul. How you doing?
John, we are doing great.
I'm a Tennessee grad, 68. My dad played ball in 1920 at Tennessee. That's all I've ever done has been a Tennessee fan. I'm just saying we hired, I think, probably the best hire that was out there for athletic director. I'm a Phil Fulmer guy, but, you know, it was time for Phil. He took his shot. But the thing is, we've got to, as fans, realize that this is a serious undertaking, and it's going to take a lot of research to find the right guy. And I'm not a Hugh Freeze guy at all. Tennessee's going to have to hire somebody with impeccable credentials. And I want them to leave Mr. White alone, Dr. White. We're paying him $1.8 million. He'd be one of the best paid ADs in the country, and he's got a pretty good track record. And I think that's what the Tennessee money people, and that's what the Tennessee administration is going to do. And they're going to come up with the right guy. I really feel like this time we're on the right track. I certainly hope so. But go Vols. It'll all be okay. And I may live long enough to see us back on track.
John, thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. Our guest is waiting, and he is Steve Wilks, the new coordinator, defensive coordinator at the University of Missouri. He comes from the NFL, where he has been a defensive coordinator for a number of clubs, the Cardinals, the Browns. He went to the Super Bowl with the Panthers a couple of years ago. Coach, thank you for making time, and good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you for having me.
It's a pretty pedestrian question to ask why the switch back to college. You've been there before, obviously, but you've spent most of your, 15 years or more in the National Football League. What excited you, interested you in making the move?
Well, when I had this opportunity to sit out this past year, really trying to assess where I wanted to go professionally, I was looking for a situation rather organization or a program that I felt like had great people. The culture was in place and they were moving in the right direction. And it all started with the leadership. And Coach Drinks, he and I built a relationship last year when he became the head coach at Appalachian State, my alma mater. And I stayed in contact with him. And at the end of the year, he sent me a text and said, you know, do you want to come back to college and start making an impact on the lives of these young men? And I had expressed to him that I had been looking and seeking about different opportunities, professional and college. And when he and I sat down and spoke, he flew to Charlotte. And I just really, his vision, expectations of this program, man of character, his core values are right in line with my core values. And I wanted myself and my family to be in a good situation, regardless of NFL or not. And I tell people this all the time, is that I never allow what I do to identify who I am as a person, meaning I don't need the NFL shield. I think being a coach and making an impact in the lives of the people that you're around, you can do at any level. So I was just really led to come here because I really was intrigued in what they have in place and the direction in which they're going.
Coach, that is really interesting. And I talked about your past, and I remember, when you got on that run with the Panthers, and then you became the head coach at Arizona. I'm curious because those are major positions. And what do you take away from a lot of high-profile jobs, whether it's a head coach in the NFL, whether it's a coordinator in the Super Bowl, and you were in the Super Bowl, I think, a number of years ago as well with the Bears. And then you sit back a little bit and breathe. What goes into your mindset as you're reflecting back on your career and also trying to create a new path forward?
Well, I think you have a lot of time to reflect. And when you want to try to assess your career, particularly some of your previous stops, you try to learn from those lessons. And one of the things that people ask me about is say, well, what are some of the things that you learned? And what I really learned that it's harder to install a culture than it is to install a defense. And you have to have time. You have to have the right chemistry from a standpoint of players and coaches, everybody believing in the same vision and expectation. And another thing that I learned is that, you know, never stop doing what got you the job. And I made a name for myself as one of the good defensive coaches in the National Football League, but also a guy that developed players, coaching in the secondary. And that's one of the things that I'm sort of intrigued about now is that, you know, in 18 as a head coach, you don't have a position. As a coordinator in Cleveland, you don't have a position. Now I can go back and really put my hands and my fingerprints and thumbprints on these players and embolden them, you know, i.e. like Josh Norman, those guys, Captain Mullen, Eric Weddle, and try to get these guys to the next level on and off the field.
I mean, that Panthers defense that you took to the Super Bowl was about as punishing as they come. And then when you made that transition to become an NFL head coach, I know that's a moment that had to stop you cold to think about the struggle that, all coaches have to get to that point. I know it wasn't you know, maybe the, or what was it like to experience that?
It was great. I mean, you work your whole career, your whole life, and trying to become one of 32. And you know, I felt like my body of work, my resume, spoke for itself. And I positioned myself because, as I tell a lot of young coaches, you know, just take care of what's in front of you. I always have the mentality of being big time where you are, wherever that may be, and people are going to recognize your work. And that's what I did. Coach Rivera gave me the platform to be able to grow within that position, assistant head coach, where, you know, I was able to be able to set the schedule, you know, run meetings, run practice. So I got a lot of on-the-job training. So when I stepped into that type of role, particularly when I got on the interview circuit, I felt extremely confident in my ability because of, you know, really the foundation that Coach Rivera provided me. So it was thrilling. It was exciting. Like always, you wish you had more time, as I just mentioned, trying to instill a culture and get it the right way. But, you know, God willing, I have an opportunity to do it again at some point.
Coach Wilkes, I mean, we're watching yesterday. I'm just curious because it's so easy to sit at home, you know, with snacks and a drink and take shots at whatever the coach decision made. There were a lot of questionable calls, as there always are in an NFC championship game, but you've been in that spot before. Does it feel any different when you're playing for a ticket to go to the, I think you were playing the Cardinals, if I remember correctly, when you were in Carolina, does it, against Bruce, does it feel any different than just your, not that anything is normal in the NFL, but just a normal Sunday afternoon game?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, you feel the intensity and pretty much the enthusiasm throughout. You know, one of the things that you somewhat regret a little bit for that particular game last night, and believe me, I understand everything that we've gone through in 2020, but just for the fans not to be there and have that excitement and that adrenaline in the stadium, and you know, just I think guys feed off that. But beyond that, man, it's just the game itself is just so glorifying that you're one step away from really trying to fulfill your dream. So I don't want to get into a point and say, well, it intensifies, because you want to make sure you have the same mindset that you've had. But that's, I mean, that game is special to the point where you know everything has to be on point. And I had an opportunity to be able to play in it twice. So that's glorifying for me.
Coach, now that you're dealing with young people, and I'm I talked to enough college football players, and rightly or wrongly, they are a little NFL-centric. But that's good, I think, when you can talk about your experiences. How will you, now that you're in college ball, relate to young people who are trying to get where you have been for such a long time, the right road and the right path? Because clearly you understand the ticket.
I think those are key things that you said, the right road and the right path. You know, anytime that you can speak from experience, I think it's just is priceless. And for these guys to understand that, yes, most of them, all of them are thinking about trying to get to the next level. Well, you're talking to a guy that has been there for a number of years and really had the opportunity to develop players. So I understand and know exactly what it takes. I understand the commitment. I understand, you know, what you have to put in to really, you know, to sacrifice the time and the effort to get to that level. So, you know, with guys having that ambition, I definitely feel like I can help them get there and pretty much lead them in the right direction. So I think it's a plus for me, particularly when you start looking at, you know, recruiting and guys that have that aspiration of getting to that next level.
I'm curious in your, I don't know, I guess in college we would call it a gap year. You had a gap year at an unusual time in your life, but how did you, and we're all dealing with COVID, of course, but how did you spend that time in terms of trying to help open the door for the next opportunity?
Well, you know, when I came off 18, thinking I had a great situation in Cleveland, good personnel, thinking we were going to have a chance to do some things there, and all of a sudden Freddie gets fired. I told myself, and particularly my family, I said, you know, I really need to take some time off to figure out exactly what I want to do. And I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I moved my family again, and all of a sudden, you know, I put us in a bad situation. So my intention is to sit out. Came right at the end of the year, and then all of a sudden the pandemic hit, and I just like, man, I couldn't have picked a better time. And within that time, a colleague of mine, Alonzo Escalante, who was on my staff in Arizona as well as in Cleveland, we just met every day via Zoom. We had all the film from XO's NFL college, so we watched the games each week. Had different projects that we took on, whether it was offensively looking at certain schemes, defensively looking at, you know, who was doing well on third down, red zone, stopping the run. It was phenomenal in the things that we were able to do, even within the playbook, trying to simplify things. And I learned this past year about trying to minimize the volume and maximize the execution. I went all the way back to my days with Lovie Smith where, you know, we didn't do a lot and we were so efficient. And a lot of times when you tell people that, they think that that the scheme is easy. It's not easy. It's just trying to make sure that the players can play fast and they don't have to worry about trying to think and process. And particularly at this level as well, you want guys to be able to just go out there and execute. So it was a great year for me to take off and really develop myself and figure out a plan moving forward.
Coach Steve Wilks, the new defensive coordinator. Coach, I could talk to you for a couple hours. I know you're busy, but I hope you'll come back. This was fascinating for us, and I know the audience appreciated it very, very much. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you guys for having me. All right, have a blessed day. Take care now.
Thank you very much. Steve Wilks, what an amazing story of how you know, he has dealt with things in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, the head coach at Arizona, and now the defensive coordinator for Eli at the University of Missouri. We will take a break, get your reaction to all of that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back on the program, and let's check in with Billy, who is in Florida. Hey, Billy.
How you doing?
We're doing great, Billy. Thank
you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I just got one quick question. Auburn's new hire with Brian Harsin, how well do you think he can recruit from the West Coast to Auburn?
I think that would be a challenge. He has experience out there, but I think getting someone to come all the way from west to east is very difficult.
Okay. Well, how would you grade the the coaching hire he did.
I thought he put together a terrific staff. We just heard a clip from him from our Friday interview, and I think Derek Mason, Bobo, a number of the other people that he's brought in, more the Etheridge people inside the program. I think he's put a good staff together, a staff necessary to overcome the his deficiencies, and those are obvious. He has no familiarity at all with the Deep South. He coached at Arkansas State 1 year, and he coached at Texas 1 year. But for the most part, Auburn's main recruiting area, which is Alabama, Georgia, Florida, he does not have a lot of familiarity. But I think he's got a good staff. Thank you for the call. Kevin is next up in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again, and Happy New Year. And I'd like to try to condense one for you here. And back in May 26, 1959, the Pittsburgh Pirates went to Milwaukee to play the Braves. And there was this guy on the hill for the Pirates, probably the greatest game ever pitched in the bigs, named Harvey Haddix.
Right.
Harvey Haddix threw a perfect game for 12 innings. And that's 36 batters up and down, didn't walk anybody, didn't hit anybody. Obviously, nobody made an error. Perfect game. For the Braves, a guy named Lou Burdett was on the hill. He had a no-hitter. He had a shutout going. I believe Lou Burdett's in the Hall of Fame. In the bottom of the 13th, Harvey Haddix was still on the hill. And throughout the entire game, the catcher for the Pirates, Smokey Burgess, was showing the signs. He was putting down, the signs between his legs, and he was putting down too low. And the Braves bullpen at Old County Stadium in Milwaukee with binoculars were catching the signs. And a towel out there, if they caught a fastball, it was a black towel they would put up. If it was a curveball, it was a white towel. And if it was a slider, it was a red towel. Throughout the whole game, the Braves could still not hit Harvey Haddix. And bottom line is that in the bottom of the 13th, it's still 0-0, and Haddix is still on the hill. He walked the first batter. There goes the perfect game. The first batter gets to third on some fielder choices. There are two outs, and a guy named Hank Aaron comes up. They intentionally walk Hank Aaron. And the next guy up was Joe Adcock. And remember, these Braves had, I think they were in the World Series the year before. They could hit. And Joe Adcock hits a home run, ball game over. It gets complicated at the end there. But the one man after the game that refused to take the signals, stealing the signals from the Braves bullpen, was Hank Aaron. Shows the character of the man, even when he was a young man, 1959. Now, the end of the game was really funky, too, because they were so excited that Adcock sped around first base and actually passed Hank Aaron going to second. Originally, they thought it was just a long fly ball, but it got out. And Hank Aaron was called out, but the run still counted. Crazy
that is, yeah, no, I, there, I vaguely remember Kevin reading about Harvey Haddix's perfect game until it wasn't so perfect years ago. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We will give you an update on the new defensive coordinator, and there's rumors that LSU may finally have one after a lengthy search, coming up with Brooks Kabina at the top of the hour. We will also continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Harold is up next here on a Monday afternoon. Hello, Harold.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Harold, we are doing great. Thank you for asking.
Good. Listen, I was sitting here watching your show when I-Man came on, and I do agree with him to some extent, about who these people are trying to tell them who to hire for a coach. And I think they got a capable athletic director up there that'll do a pretty good job. But the problem that, I see with Tennessee is if you look at their coaching for the last you know, few years, they've had people in there 2 or 3 years at a time, and they get frustrated because they can't win, and then they want to fire them. Well, on the new coach, whoever they get, they're going to have to understand that Tennessee's going to be on probation or have some restrictions, and it's going to hurt recruiting. And if they don't have a good record for 2 or 3 years, they're going to be back in the same boat, and they better have some patience to want to keep the coach and till he can build a team. I do agree with Jim Donnan a little bit. Pruitt did upgrade the personnel at Tennessee, but if they're not careful and they hurt themselves, you could wind up, they don't have to worry about season ticket sales, because you'll be able to get a ticket to a ball game with a Happy Meal at McDonald's. So I'll hang up and let you listen.
Well, Harold, thank you. I think you're right, and it's a critical hire. I know there is enthusiasm over the new athletic director, but that's understandable. There's always enthusiasm with new hires. But this coaching decision is critical, and the person has to deal with a lot. So this isn't just going out and having a normal coaching search. This is extraordinary. And players are departing. And, yeah, you can always talk a few into coming back. But there has been serious damage done to this program. And with possible NCAA sanctions around the corner, it's likely to grow. Robert is up next in Mississippi. Robert, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I can, yes. Thank you.
How's it going? I appreciate you having me on this call. I was just going to go ahead and ask, what are our expectations for Matt Corral this year?
I think they're good. I think he has proven to be a great quarterback, at least potentially a great quarterback. I think there's been some inconsistencies, but I like his chances of blossoming even more.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, what about Hugh Freeze going to Tennessee next year?
Not going to happen.
Why do you not think so?
Because, you know, here's a coach that was just fired. Well, not just fired, but was fired under dubious circumstances a couple of years ago. Tennessee is under NCAA investigation. And you have a new athletic director. And I'm not sure. I just don't think it has any chance of happening. I hate to be cruel, because I think Freeze is a phenomenal head coach. I think he would be good, but I don't think there is any chance Hugh Freeze will get this job. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Nick is up next. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. How you doing? I'm out to the south.
I am doing great, Nick. What about you?
I'm doing just fine, Paul. I want to ask you a question, Paul. If you was the AD at Tennessee, which you are an alumni, who is your top three coaches that you would hire or go after?
Well, Nick, the problem is I don't know who would say yes. I think of the people that would say yes, I think that would include coaches like Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, Napier maybe. But I would swing higher than that to start. I would be on the phone with every coach in the country, from Luke Fickell to Matt Campbell, to others, and including PJ Fleck, which Bruce said earlier he thinks is a possible. And, you know, get a no before you move on to the next level. What about you?
Well, I like Billy Napier. Have they even talked to him? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Billy Napier would definitely be on my dance card. I think he's an excellent coach, and I think he does fit a lot of what Tennessee is looking for. I think a Napier, Chadwell type of coach might be better than a big name coach who is walking into a frustrating year or two because of the NCAA situation.
I would too, Paul. But and as far as the other callers I heard today talk about James Franklin and everything, I don't see that, Paul.
I don't see it either, Nick. I think Franklin will stay where he is. Anyway, thanks for the call. We are heading to a break. We still have an hour to go. We'll find out what's happening at LSU next.